Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. We are live on Loudmouth Radio this evening. Tonight is an awesome evening in the Atlanta area. We're hoping that everyone is doing well in their respective places. And I must say that tonight is one of those evenings for me. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm feeling good. All these different emotions. I guess because, of course, we haven't been on air consistently every week that we were doing our run. We're on our little summer hiatus, preparing to bring some more exciting programming as we're going into the fall. But literally, we are really excited about the things that we've been doing. And tonight is going to be another opportunity to really share with you guys some great things because of the factor of the different things that we've had going on. We're able to share this with you. Like I said, I'm sorry. It's crazy, but, you know, you do this so much, but then you haven't been doing it, and then you're excited about everything that's been going on. And I can just feel myself sound like, okay, great. This is going to happen tonight, and we're on air live, and I'm excited about it because of the fact of that as a network, we're growing so much. I know that we haven't been sharing a lot, but, you know, when you're working in the lab, sometimes you got to get in the quiet space and work things to the point and the perspective in which you want things to be. And as a host and as a producer, that's exactly what I've been doing. And, you know, tonight we're going to share some information to the public that is so vital. Jazzy and I was really honored to be able to participate as a media source during the Small Business Administration and National Black Justice Coalition's tour that has taken place in the greater Atlanta area for 2 days. And unfortunately, that actual live event has passed, but fortunately, we were there to gather as much content and information to share this with you. So that's what makes this moment so impactful for me because, you know, we were able to come in and allow some of the facilitation to be heard today. Last night, we played part one of the tour of many powerful interviews with some of the people I'm going to share with you tonight who put this whole thing together and made things happen. And because of that, and because of you as an audience, we wanted to make sure that we did not hesitate to put this information into hands that is going to help, is going to allow people who are looking to start their businesses, people who have businesses like myself, who've been out here. I've been a self-funded business from day one, so I'm excited to hear about the excelling points that the U.S. Small Business Administration has shared in meeting groups and organizations like the National Black Justice Coalition, which is ran under the direction of Executive Director and CEO Sharon J. Letman Hicks. Awesome spirit. She was just a wonderful host. Her staff, Michael Brewer, and so many others who were on deck at the Marriott Marquis. This event was held August 11th through the 13th. The 12th and the 13th is primarily the days that people came in for workshops and seminars. And, you know, the Small Business Administration has offices in every state, primarily able to serve, you know, those businesses in need. And the Atlanta office, we were able to meet some awesome people here who are working diligently in the Georgia District office to expound on SBA programming and initiatives. And tonight you'll hear these different names being expressed and heard on audio from the interviews that we did. But I just want to definitely give thanks to Terry Denson, who's the district director for the Small Business Administration in Georgia, right in Atlanta, Mark Gibson, that does the public affairs, Ms. Paula Watts, who is definitely the business opportunity specialist, Mr. David Perry, the deputy district director, and I also definitely want to make sure that I recognize Ms. Patrice Dozier, who was just a beautiful spirit to Jazzy and I when we first walked through the door. She was very arms were wide open coming in, and she was so excited. Her eyes lit up when we told her, you know, what we were coming in to do and what we wanted to do. And I definitely have to give a shout out to my guy Cassius Butts, who was one of my professors. I missed Cassius on the first day but I saw him in the actual program, and I felt so good to see people that I've had the opportunity to learn from a curricular standpoint, but also see him in his position and what his staff is doing in this market to help other small business entrepreneurs and those who desire to become business owners, opportunities for funding and economic empowerment. So tonight I'm going to continue with Jazzy Star. Off with last night on her show, The Bare Truth, and I got to tell you, her show was just crazy. If you missed it, I'm going to recommend you got to go back to loudmouthradio.com. All our shows become archive podcasts. You can listen in. If you don't know, we're on Stitcher, which is a great app for your iPhone, Android users. You can go straight to the actual app store, download this app, type in Loudmouth Radio Network. We'll come up. You have to make sure you put two D's in for Loudmouth. And we got to make sure that you're able to hear this information because, trust me, if you go into 2014 without opportunities of leverage, it's because you did not heed the opportunity that's being given to you. So I wish I'd known about this a lot sooner because I would have definitely would have enjoyed sharing this information leading up to the event and being able to cover more. But we did our best coming in Tuesday afternoon and then following Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning going into the afternoon of coverage. Today's Wednesday. I'll let you know how erratic the day has been for me already. The week is already halfway gone. I can't believe it. So I'm going to allow you to listen in on so many things. I'm going to break and talk in between segments. I'm going to share some information. I'm going to share the visions of what these organizations are about and who they are. I also have to make mention to Sam McClure, who is a representative for the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. She did an awesome job. You'll hear her interview tonight. That's on here with the NGLCC.org. So you'll hear a lot of acronyms. I do my best. I do talk fast, especially when I get excited. But I do my best to try to mention these different organizations at a pace in which you can follow. I'm going to make sure that I repeat things so that you can archive them, put it and write it down somewhere you won't forget. Go to these websites and get in touch with these people and definitely let them know Loudmouth Radio brought you the information. And also, the great thing that was awesome, some of the Atlanta partners of the event, no other than two awesome spiritual leaders in the Atlanta, Georgia market that are doing powerful things with their organizations, their churches, and that would be Reverend O.C. Allen III, who's the founder and senior pastor of the Vision Church of Atlanta, as well as Reverend Dr. Kenneth Samuel, who's the senior pastor for Victory for the World Church, also in Atlanta, Georgia. These two guys just turned it up and turned it out on the last day, and we had church at the seminar. You all know when a pastor starts getting hyped, it's a done deal. We had people running and gunning up in there, you know what I'm saying? So the offering plate almost had to move, you know what I mean? It was just that impactful. So tonight we are going to play their segment. Because this tour itself, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight about this. This program was really drawn up as an initiative with the U.S. Small Business Administration and the National Black Justice Coalition. They partnered up to launch an LGBT Economic Empowerment Tour for communities of color. And this actual tour started out with a total of 13 major cities. Atlanta became the second stop, which should tell you something. Detroit was number one, which is, I'm going to talk about Detroit, and I'm going to talk about the significance of what this tour means, especially with the economic aspect of things. But 13 major cities, and those cities, Detroit, Chicago, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, New York, Newark, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, New Orleans, Houston, Los Angeles, and Oakland, San Francisco. Thus far, Detroit was the first stop, Atlanta's the second stop. So For those of you who are listening to this, and if you have some economic means to make it to these 11 other cities, I do suggest that you try to get yourself in place to make those events. And I'm going to give you a tentative date for New York, which is coming up. With us airing this now, hopefully we give you enough time to take part in the tour and make it to the New York City, which is, this actual tour is called Many Faces, One Dream. I did fail to mention that. But we will be sharing and posting links. So if you're on Facebook, if you're following us on Twitter, if you're following us, you know, just directly online, this information will be centered and linked in. So, of course, if you're listening to Loud Mouth Radio, we are live. Our actual studio line is 347-826-7520. And I guess you can tell, guys, you ain't heard no music. You ain't heard nothing. I went straight in. That's just how significant this event is and the impact of what it can be for many people, minority people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, any of those people that identify in those cultures will be able to take advantage of this information. Because when I tell you that they're really working diligently to bring you the importance of things, I'm actually, this is why I'm glad I'm online and I'm looking to make sure everything is concise, because there are dates that's been attached to here for New York City. I'm going to mention those, and with the hope that you'll be prepared to make it. But New York is actually showing for October 20th through the 22nd, which is in 2013 this year. And that information, which I'm going to encourage you to go to, is manyfacesonedream.com, which is the website dedicated to this tour. And when you get to the page, you'll actually see Atlanta, Detroit, which have already passed, and then New York City is listed and has information there. And it also gives you some tour sponsorship information as well as the ambassadors. And you'll see some of the national partners and the administrative contacts that are involved in this project. So once again, like I said, I will be mentioning different names, and I think it'd be great if you're going to make it to these cities that you already have an identification of whom will be there. So we'll do our best to try to give you that information. Now, tonight, we're going to share with you day two of the event, and that's going to consist of, like I said, you'll hear from Reverend Allen, you'll hear from Dr. Reverend Samuel, you'll also hear some interviews from our SBA. We even had a great interview from someone that we didn't even expect their department to even be there, which was the USDA, which most people are familiar with USDA for food. But we came to find out, you know, that agricultural sector has a vast area of coverage, and they were actually there, actually participating in this tour. You'll hear that. You'll also hear from different vendors as well as individuals who partake to hear the information and how they felt that the event and the tour impact them and the information that they gathered from and what they recommend for those who may be looking for information like this. You'll hear from Ms. Dee Dee Chambly, the Executive Director and CEO of LaGender, who deals with transgender. She's been a very high recommended representative for the transgender community, has appeared at in Washington, D.C. at the White House. So that's a wonderful thing to be able to have someone in Atlanta being able to hit that level. And she's also a member of our church. We'll go to Tabernacle Baptist Church. So you'll hear from Dee Dee as well as Sam McClure, who's the director and affiliate relations of the National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And the majority of these people are in D.C. That I'll mention to you from, of course, the U.S., SBA, Eugene Cornelius, who's the powerhouse with all these guys. Eugene is the Deputy Associate Administrator for Field Operations, and his responsibility, he deals with 90 offices over all 50 states. So just to let you know, Gene Cornelius, my man, I have to brag on him. We're both Kenwood Academy alumni, Broncos. That was an exciting moment to hear a fellow Chicagoan in the house, and we know family and everything. So that was awesome. So we had a great moment. So it was important to finish school, you know what I'm saying? Finish school. So what we're going to do, I want to start out trying to stay in the order in which things kind of went. Last night, we played the first day. Today, we're going to kind of step into the closing remarks in which Pastor Allen and Pastor Samuel spoke. And I'm going to tell you right now, they said some meaningful things, and hopefully it will draw you to have a better understanding of just how important your position and your voice is within your spiritual community, because the church is such a powerful position, and as a lot of people know, there's been a lot of backlash in black churches in regards to to lesbian and gay issues. But, you know, with them, there are love and acceptance churches, meaning that they're not exclusive to anyone else, but their ministry is an exclusivity to everyone. So we definitely want to start off this show with a great sound, and I think that this is appropriate for us to get this message heard. So we're going to go ahead and start out with them, and we'll come back from that, and I'll kind of do a quick little break.
Talk about what it means to be LGBT, right? And particularly in the Black community, we've got to talk about the church.
Yes.
And we have to make this connection between the Black church, social justice, and economic justice. Because you would think that nobody more than Black folks understand what it means to be discriminated against. And because we don't understand the issue of LGBT or not, or orientation, we understand the money. So talk to us about what's happening or not happening in the Black church and what we need to do to be empowered as a community. So even if we can get past the conversation of orientation, and we know that's an important conversation that must be had, but it is also about building our communities and employing people and employing businesses, and who cares what your orientation is, you're creating jobs in the community. How do we get the Black church to get to that place?
Great question. Sometimes we just think of churches as being spiritual entities, and many churches are. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that all churches are businesses.
Yes.
And in the Black community, Black churches are major businesses.
Yes.
Black churches employ people, not just Blacks.
Uh-huh.
Black churches employ administrative workers. Uh-huh. Black churches employ counselors. Black churches employ builders, contractors, plumbers, electricians, teachers, education personnel. Black churches are a major part of the economic engine of any Black community. And if we ignore that, we ignore that to our peril. Now, since the church is a business, and not just spiritual, but also a business, then that means that the way dollars are spent by the members of the church will have an impact on church policy.
Yes.
And I argue that I don't care what kind of general sexist, homophobic, biblical, literalist, interpretive, pastor, preacher, bishop, elder, what they have. Black pastors understand dollars. And I would argue that every LGBT person as ally in every Black church would stand up one Sunday and say that something else in that Bible other than the homophobia that we see are coming from the pulpit. Something else to be numbers of numbers, what it is. Make them feel the heat with our dollars. Make them feel the heat that you have to spend our money. Now keep in mind that when we support churches that do not support who we are in the fullness of who God is, we are financing our own
I just want to tell you guys that when Dr. Samuel spoke in regards to this situation and how serious it is for people as a community, especially the spiritual side of the things that most communities seek to go to for guidance is the church. So his whole relevant point at that moment was for people who are attending different churches to also understand that church itself is a business. And this economic empowerment tour really wanted to pinpoint the impact of how, especially the LGBT dollar, is significant in regard to U.S. spending. And the crazy deficit part of it is that very little amount of LGBTQ-owned businesses are taking advantage of the dollars being spent. So, you know, it's important that individuals understand that if you are attending, you know, a church that at some point is not being more open-minded toward change, not being more open-minded towards different genders of people, especially lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual individuals who identify themselves as such, and being ashamed to step up or stand in regards to those types of actions, then maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you need to make some adjustments because you're going to these churches tithing or you're going to these churches volunteering time. You're going to these churches and giving them your services as a person. So just keep in mind how important it is for your voice and your the power that your position being within a part of that organization has a deciding point of how things can be changed. So the leadership sometimes may not always agree with things that are going on, but we just want to make sure that people are not being just as closed-minded as some of the institutions that they're going to and not give themselves the opportunity to have a stronger impact in that church. So Dr. Samuel really spoke highly within a few minutes. Real things that are happening within a lot of spiritual realms of different denominations of churches. And the thing is, as things continue to develop from a legislative perspective, you know, the politics side of things has shook up pretty much every area of community when it comes to gay rights and social issues. So the thing is, how much power do you have? How much of your own power are you presenting when it comes to the churches that you attend, the community or social groups that you are part of? You know, are you just sitting in them and allowing things to happen and not really allowing your voice or your feelings to be heard? So, I mean, I know that, you know, the people that listen to our show, you know, are not, everyone is not the same. Everyone is not coming from the same background. Everybody has different things and, you know, different interests. But there's not one person that doesn't know somebody that may be a black or a minority or, you know, maybe possibly a lesbian or a gay or individual or a transgender or a bisexual person that identifies themselves as such. So it was just great to hear from someone that is in their community and is allowing their congregation to grow and progress as a community. And what was exciting to hear the SBA speak in regards to these spiritual leaders in their communities and how they realize, you know, as an organization, how powerful churches are to be influential to the people that come. So, you know, I ain't going to tell you no lie. One of the things that I've always felt, and it's kind of disturbing to see, when you have people that are coming to church week after week and they're tithing or they're giving whatever they can to offering, but they leave there week after week broke. You know, it's a sad thing to not see people elevating as a whole congregation, you know. And I guess in a way it's a challenge of saying, you know, how committed are you to the fellow person next to you? Because If you have a business, you have a desire to own a business, even if you're working for someone else, and you love what you do, and you love your job, but I'm sure there's somebody you know that does have a deep desire to do something for themselves. One other statistic that was brought up during this event, which was mind-blowing, is that over 63% of transgender people are unemployed. And, you know, when you have numbers like that that are staggering across a nation, you know, how much of a difference can you be to someone who is not given fair opportunity, who is being discriminated against, and say, listen, instead of, you know, not getting anywhere because place after place you're going to is discriminating against you, take these resources that the government has available, these programs. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars are available. Put yourself in a position to hire those who probably can relate to you, who are also having a hard time, whether they, you know, may not be transgender, but maybe, you know, as a lady or a man who feels within themselves to dress the opposite of what people think that they should look like and still allow them to be who they are authentically. And, you know, the thing is, it's not about what you look like if you can do the job that needs to be done. You know, what are your skill sets? So these are some of the things that were talked about and shared in these groups, in these different workshops that spoke on marketing, spoke on finance, that spoke about credit. You know, a lot of times people won't even touch SBA initiatives because they say my credit is bad. And so what's impactful about this tour, they're going to talk to you about things as they are today. The SBA knows how bad the economy has taken. You know, I as a personal business owner know how challenged I've been from the beginning when I first started as an entrepreneur to this point. And even to this moment, I'm like, this tour opened my eyes up to so much. And it also made me realize how many people right in my own back door need resources and how much I can give to my own community right here just by reconditioning my focus and my own initiatives and taking all the things that I have in place and drive these things into the community to help to enrich others. So the next thing I want to play now is Reverend O.C. Allen III, and he is the pastor of the Vision Church, which is also in Atlanta. And his message is going to also be conveyed in regards to his position of what he feels that he does as a spiritual leader to impact his church. And before I bring him in, I just want to take the time to recognize one of our media partners that is a sponsor of Loud Mouth Radio. And like I said, this is all about empowerment. You know, from a media perspective, we always look to empower, inspire, and entertain. So our relationships with our business owners and other media partners is important. And we're just so happy to be able to be on air. And we want to take the time to make sure that you as an audience have resources for some of the media partners in our community. Bright Car Spa, located at 360 Edgewood Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia, is a 100% hand car wash, full detail service. They actually offer full services from inside and outside, basic services to full detailing. They're open 7 days a week, Sunday to Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can find them online at brightcarspa.com, B-R-I-T-E, carspa.com. You also can contact them at 404-913-4980. And they are a very, very respected car detail, 100% hand car wash detail center in the Atlanta area, right in a historic, not far from the historic Auburn Avenue area. So they're very convenient to downtown Atlanta, 7585, Interstate 20, as well as 285. So you can get to them on any main road, probably any main highway. So that means get over there, get your car washed. I know it's been raining like cats and dogs, but they can detail you, pull them in the bay, and make sure your car is good. So we want to recognize Bright Car Spa for being a Loud Mouth Radio media sponsor and partner. Like I said, this event was just prestigious in regards to information. It just really gave you the sense of community. Even after the closing remarks, we all took a huge picture as a group, and it was exciting to just see all the people that were part of this tour. And we're just really excited to allow Reverend Allen's message to be heard. So I'm going to go ahead and play his message so you can hear exactly what he had to share to the actual seminar. You're being moderated with actually the Honorable Alicia Morgan Thomas, who is the Georgia House Representative in District 39. She actually did a great job speaking in regards to asking some of the questions and allowing key presenters to speak on the concerns that just needed to really be announced and spoke about. And one of the things I think I did do was Dr. Samuel did say something very powerful, and I think I actually clipped it a little bit sooner than I wanted. And I'm going to allow that sector, and it wasn't too much more that he said beyond where we were, but I want that sector of what he spoke on at the tail end of his comments to be heard. So I'm going to allow that clip to play, and then I'm going to come back and speak on a little bit more. Trying to back that little part up a little bit, but like I said, the Honorable Alicia Thomas was speaking in regards to just how important it is for the information to be heard through the community. And so the church is a key aspect of the community, and I think it was profound to have these two spiritual leaders that's very respected in the community to appear as presenters and speak in regards to their initiatives from their pulpits and how their congregation embraces opportunities to empower others. Excuse me. So I think the whole perspective here is for individuals to have the knowledge. And that's the thing. When people don't know the resources that are out there for them, they tend to fall short. So, you know, the exciting thing is that this information can be shared and heard. And we're going to continue to allow the interviews of the people that were involved with this actual tour to take place. I'm going to allow that actual sector to be heard from the second day. And these actual interviews, like I said, were from some participants. You're going to hear Sam McClure, which is the affiliate representative for the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. We did her sector on this particular interview on the second day. You'll hear from her. The U.S. Small Business Administrative had also a store representative on location. And I will try my best to announce contact information, which I think is important for people who are, especially in the Atlanta market, to have district office information. But overall, the tour itself, like I said, is manyfacesonedream.com. And manyfacesonedream.com, which will give you the National Black Justice Coalition's website, and it gives you more information about the tour. And if you didn't listen to the show yesterday, I'm going to keep repeating this, and we're going to keep posting this information out there. But Tuesday night show on The Bare Truth, you would have heard from Jean Cornelius, Sharon Letman Hicks. You would have also heard from Terry Denson, the district director with the Small Business Administration. And then also today, you'll hear from Michael Brewer, who's an external affairs manager for the National Black Justice Coalition, and he'll speak vividly on what that organization is about and how impactful they are. And just so you have an idea of what their whole thing is, I'm going to share some insight about them as a group. And they provide leadership as an intersection of African-American civil rights groups and LGBT organizations. They advocate for unique challenges and needs of the Black LGBT community that are often relegated to the sidelines. So as a critical conduit to the authentic Black LGBT experience, the National Black Justice Coalition has strategically positioned itself to be an agent of social, political, and cultural change. So make sure you also visit them online at nbjc.org. And that's a great organization that I think people need to really tap into. And they accept donations, so you can go online and look at all that information. So I'm going to go ahead and allow you to hear the other interviews that took place. So hopefully this will impact you to share this information.
Hey,
We're here day two of the National Black Justice Coalition SBA event at the Marriott Marquis in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is a beautiful August 13th. And we're actually here on location again and continuing the awesome opportunity of being able to cover this event and this actual city tour with the second stop in Atlanta. And today we're actually sitting and speaking with someone that we're going to share some exciting information about. As we're preparing, we're coming out of one session and going into another, and I'm going to share a little bit about Ashley and her awesome position and what she does. I had to be politically correct. She was not, somebody surpassed me her business card. I couldn't remember her last name.
She was saying it was such a slip.
Yeah, it was like right out of her pocket. You know what I'm saying? So today we're going to actually have an opportunity to continue this coverage and speak to a few people online with us today. And they're actually doing a lot of movement, so you may hear some background noise of the servitude of others. But we'll make it through, right, Gabby?
Always.
Today we actually have Ashley Davis, who's a special assistant to the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights right out of D.C. And amazing enough, I found out some new things yesterday I did not know.
Yeah.
That I'm going to allow Ashley to speak on record about, but she's a part of the United States Department of Agriculture Department, which a lot of people just see the USDA dealing with food.
Right.
And I'm not going to speak on everything that I don't know, so I'm going to ask you, how are you feeling today, Ashley? Great. How are you?
Fabulous.
Awesome. We're actually really excited to be here, and we had an opportunity to meet you yesterday. And should you share with our audience a little bit about you, your position, and what you're doing here today, and able to take back to D.C. for future reference? Absolutely. Well, you know, USDA is an agency that most folks know for, like you said, the food, right? But we live and breathe in just about every aspect of the American people's lives. And so I work within the Office of Civil Rights, and so we're not just concerned with the racial issues that may or may not be of interest to folks, which are extremely important to us. We're also interested in gender equality and age representation of folks that get a fair shot at the programs and services that USDA serves. And so, for instance, I mean, there are a lot of services and opportunities as far as loans and services that USDA offers, and we want folks to feel completely rest assured that they're going to get a fair shot. They're going to be seen the same way as the next person that walks in that regional office. And so that's what essentially what I do every day, working with under the guidance of the Assistant Secretary there. That's awesome. So for many that may not know a lot of history, agriculture, there are some, historic black colleges that, that people may be familiar with, like Florida A&M, Alabama A&M, that have always been designated to deal with agriculture and mechanical. But, people don't think about the real estate aspect of things, but you talked about how, for many black Americans, and I think Eugene Cornelius spoke on this yesterday, that most black people have utilized their real estate as well, right? Because of the economy going through the change, the USDA also deals with the real estate aspect. And so naturally, anything that is real estate is on land,
absolutely,
which is agriculture. Which is on the land. So Jazzy mentioned to me yesterday, and I know you guys had an in-depth conversation, spoke on a few things. So from that aspect, could you speak about some of the funding that's available through your department?
Wait, before she does that, I just want you to know I was so excited. Like, I was like a little kid, and I wanted to be on that program called Did You Know? Like, my son Justin, who used to come home and say, Mommy, did you know? Did you know? And so Ashley got me so excited because I could say, did you know what the USDA does besides food? I'm really excited to hear all of this and share this with you guys.
Right, absolutely. And, what Jazz, what you're speaking about is, I was speaking a little bit about the work of rural development, which is in, isn't a mission area that I work with specifically. I work within every day. But it's a space I think our people need to know more about. Rural development exists for the very function of helping the American people create their own opportunities and their own wealth. And
specifically within the space of our rural business cooperative services, our rural housing, as well as our rural utilities program. And I'll keep saying RD instead of saying rural development over and over again, but it offers technical, financial assistance in the space for single-family housing, multifamily housing, which is more of the rural housing space. But then you talk about rural utilities, and then we're speaking about water access and broadband. So for folks,
development, that's like the core development.
Exactly. It is the economic development arm of USDA. And it's a space that I think if you ask the person, random Joe on the street, they have no idea what opportunities are out there.
This is so new. And unfortunately, it's not new. I'm sure this has been in place like forever. But if you don't have the knowledge or the tools for
the resources,
you don't know how to use them. So, you know, for the average regular person,
right.
You know, they're not going to know this unless we do conferences like this, unless we have radio access online like we're having to bring this information to our listeners. And listeners, just so you know, as we always do, we'll have the information how you can get in touch with a lot of these programs. We will have that listed on our website as well as giving you the information, but we definitely want Ashley to continue to inform us.
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean, so I think I'm holding a pamphlet now that I'll give you for your readers and your listeners, but if nothing else, just take this away before you think you understand exactly what an agency is or what it does. Give them a call and tell them, hey, I got this issue. Do you have anybody that deals with this? Because you'd be surprised that, you know, our rural development arm works very closely in the spaces of housing. People don't think about that. You think about food and nutrition services. You think about marketing. I mean, we have a whole entire marketing arm that goes out with the community space of food markets and going around so people.
You know, my ears are moving. My head is turned to the side. It's looking like my child right now.
We have a marketing regulatory programs office. I mean, it's what you don't know that you don't know, right? And those sometimes can hurt you the most. Because you're out here suffering without understanding that we all come from a rural space. I mean, I'm from Nashville, and I know that people are from more rural spaces than I am. But before we run to the city, there are, you know, services and opportunities that help you facilitate and build the infrastructure so you can stay home and build that wealth from within. So,
wow, awesome. And see, that's the thing. You hear a lot of people run into some major cities, mm-hmm. and then you're looking at a crowded situation when there's still opportunities. And that's how a lot of areas really stay underdeveloped,
right?
Because the people that really have a desire to do things or to initiate, a lot of times they have no idea. They feel like they're on this hamster wheel.
Right.
They don't feel like they have the ability or the resources to bring things into play. And
right.
Then, you know, here you are speaking about the rural development, and oh my God, you know, every state has some type of zone or overall area that there's tremendous opportunity, because this is where you see a lot of times the gap of education,
right?
Because resources in the more rural areas are not getting more progressive information.
Absolutely.
So there, you know, the generations that follow, all they're seeing is, oh, this country place, I don't want to be here. It's not, there's nothing here. I can't begin to tell you how much I've heard that,
right?
In different areas, oh, it's nothing here. But then it's right
about many areas. Yeah, but even with that, I think you have some people, even in your organizations that do help and do offer, that they don't have the same passion for one group over the other. And so I think the build-up of these different programs to recognize certain things in certain areas are saying, hey, we're lacking in this area, whereas, like, this conference is recognizing, you know, Black economics, LGBT economics, minority economics, whereas a lot of times you have people who will say, well, no, let's just focus on this one area. And so it takes conferences like this, it takes people like you, it takes organizations to come together to say, no, we need to recognize, if it's a vast majority of a person or people in certain areas, then it needs to be that focus consciousness to say, let's tackle this, let's rebuild our inner structure or rural areas so that we can be a better people.
So far as actually the mission, you know, what was part of the big reason of you coming into this tour? your department, because I'm not gonna, when you, you know, we talked yesterday, introduced yourself, and I saw the area you come in, and I was like, wow. You know, you never know. The SBA is so large.
Absolutely.
And I've done, you know, quite a few things. I remember, like, about 7-8 years ago, I got certified business plan, stuff on SBA and all these other things. And I wasn't even aware of, you know, so much of the diversity, which this tour is about. It's about really opening up. Because I'm going to be honest with you, most people have been intimidated by the SBA and the institutions that have the programs. And I'm going to keep it to you straight. I can remember over 10 years ago when I had started my first business that was catered to an LGBT community, the feeling of, like, I just felt like I wasn't getting enough, or some of the times I would go and talk to some of the micro centers in certain areas, people looking at me like, you know, like I had no market. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I do. I had business.
On the radio.
My business plan itself, I mean, the demographics at that time, this was in, like, you know, early part of 2000.
Right.
The demographics even at that time, the flush of the gay dollar was huge then.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, there were things that I recognized and saw that I felt like could be implemented, but I just did not feel the positive response.
Yeah.
To some of the places that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it almost felt very discriminatory in a sense.
Right.
It probably was, though.
Right.
It's just now, and this has been the theme of the last couple of days, is our federal government, our president, our leaders have set a standard, and they've set a stage that now allow us to be who we've always been, whether it's gay, straight, it really doesn't matter. But at the same time, it does matter when you have been ostracized, when you have felt that uncomfortable feeling, knowing you had a good product, knowing you had a good idea, but not feeling the acceptance in the overwide community, and definitely not the acceptance in corporate.
Sure,
and I
right.
think what this conference does, what the USDA is doing, and for all of the people who are representing you, asking what it is done at this point, it has said, you can be you at work.
Right.
You can be you in your business. You can be you to now walk up to major banks, major corporations, and say, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm transgender, I have the education, and or not, but I have the skill and I have the desire to bring a product to you and to the community at large.
Right.
That's huge.
Right.
That is huge for us to be here, for us to be able to see and experience that type of thing. It's just, it's major, but it took people to stand up to say, it is okay and we have the right,
right.
to do
right.
that, to
right.
receive it and to give it. So, yeah, I'm interested. So how your eyes are now going to be able to take back to your company and say,
yeah.
hey, this is what we
I think, well, let me, just the last part you just said makes it perfect, and let me reiterate, you're right, we are blessed to be in the midst of, you know, an administration that has affirmed time and time again that we care more about what you can produce,
yeah.
what you can offer your country, than we care about what you do with your private matters, right, which is something that within the LGBT community we've been screaming, you know,
yeah,
it's not focusing on something that at the end of the day is not going to determine whether or not I get the deadline or whether or not I bring in the clients or whether or not I can serve my country. And so how blessed are we that we're now in a space where the focal point is not those small things that never really mattered in
right.
the first place, but rather we're setting a better example for our children. And so it is, that's why it's an honor to serve within this administration for President. Quite frankly, you can believe in what he believes, and he has shown us that when he feels like he's not right about something, he'll go inside and he'll point back and say, you know what, we can do better, which is what we're trying to do continuously within USDA in a larger space. And what pulled me to feel like, you know, and, you know, we talked to my boss about, hey, this might be a good idea, and the Assistant Secretary said, absolutely, this sounds like something that USDA either needs to think about being a part of or do on our own, because we serve so many people out in the field, and we want to make sure they are empowered, not just, you know,
through, you know, SNAP and other food assistance programs, which are indispensable to all, everyone's own, just about a lot of people, millions of people's daily lives, but also about the fact that, I mean, there are programs that go unused by people in our community. They don't know about them, and we need to do a better job of articulating what's out there.
Conversion
to care. Absolutely. I mean, the USDA is led by a fantastic secretary who understands the importance of civil rights, was shown time and time again from 2009 to onward that it's a central priority of his it's a leadership and of this administration. And so, you know, it would behoove us not to work outside as we do inside to ensure fairness, because we do that on the employment side within our space, and we're going to do it here within this space and keep pushing it. So we're really excited. I mean, we are excited to just take these ideas and train our own staff. There's a lot of good key folks here from SBA and from the Atlanta area, quite frankly, that could serve, you know, the people of Georgia a lot better. And these folks are, but you can see the passion in folks in their eyes when they get up there and speak. You can really feel it in the room that folks are here, not because they're getting paid overtime to be here, but because they know they really see a key point.
They're making an impact.
Yeah, they are.
They really are.
And one thing I do want to say, you know, just if I don't say anything else, no matter what state you're in right now, if it's Iowa, it's Idaho, it's Tennessee, Wyoming, everyone has a state director who works, it's working as a member of the USDA.
Yeah.
And they liaise between, you know, the people in that state back to the central headquarters of USDA. You should look up and find where your regional office is, where your state office is, and reach out to that office if you're interested in learning more about what services could be available. And if that happened, the office happens not to answer the phone the first time, call again or call the headquarters, because there's a line that is available for general information.
Right. And if you come to find out that Terry Denson is for us, and she's awesome.
Right.
So we can see her over here now, just like not even 10 feet away.
Right.
But Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you all.
You know, she's leaving us this pamphlet, which we should have talked to the information. And I have a lot to ask you. I'm one of these people who have had a huge wake-up call, and it allows me to even further. It's so funny. Nobody really understands or knows what you feel in your own business.
Right.
But I always know I've had purpose, but this is like even more.
Right.
Empowering for me, because it's giving me more of a drive. We just came out of Sam McClure's group, and for her to tell us there was over 1.4 million, almost 1.5 million LGBT business owners in this nation, and less than
that we know of,
500
right.
are registered and certified LGBT businesses.
Right.
And I have to say, one of them, I'm not there at this moment, but I will be.
Yeah.
So, but it's all about awareness. So, absolutely. So if anybody knows, loudmouth ain't got a piece of it, it's about to roll. It's about to go wide open.
Let me just touch on that, too. There are opportunities, again, guys. You know, we always post the information so that you can be informed as we are learning. We want you to also have that knowledge. But just imagine to have a certification as an LGBTQ business. There are people who are looking to invest in LGBTQ businesses, but if they don't know you are certified and they don't know you exist, that is money wasted. That you are saying, oh my God, if I just had 25,000, if I just had 50, if I just had 150,000, what I could not only do for my business, but I could employ people that look like me, sound like me, think like me, and are ostracized because they are like me.
Right.
That is amazing. So we have tap into all of the resources that we have and all of the resources that are out here. Don't let government money that is just sitting aside waiting for you be wasted.
Absolutely. And I think that it's a blessing for us. And we need to talk with Michael Brewer. I see him coming down the hallway. But thank you so much, Ashley. And as we wrap, how can we have, if you'd like to share, for people to connect with you?
Sure. So I will, that's probably the best way to reach me, and you can, if you go to the website, it'll show you. I don't have it right on my Mark Carty. That's actually old. That's not good anymore. But if you go to USDA.gov, and in the search bar, just click type in civil rights. Once you click that, it'll immediately pop up with a web page that has my name, my information, bio. I'm just not sure that's very interesting.
I get it from it. I'll post the link.
Yeah.
In other words, you already see where this is headed.
Yeah.
You already know what's happening.
It's up there.
My product of.
Pretty much. But I'm available, and however I can be of assistance, I'm happy to do so.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ashley Davis, Special Assistant to the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights with the United States Department of Agriculture.
Right.
Thank you, guys. And we're going to go to a quick break with Loudmouth Radio, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. We're actually still continuing this great coverage of this event that's going on at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis. If you have not had an opportunity to be here, we'll try our best. Don't despair. We're going to post this and really try to share as much as we can of this awesome event, give as much expertise, resources as possible. And we're sitting here again today with Ms. Terry Denson with the SBA of the Atlanta Market. And we're going to just really allow her to share about how she feels about how things have been for the last few days and what we can look to see coming forth from this. How are you doing today?
Great. I've just been overwhelmingly pleased with the level of interaction between the community as far as business owners who are thinking about going into business, the quality of the program we're able to bring, really lay a foundation for people to know things they should do and what's available in terms of resources that they're looking to start a business or grow their business.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think, for me, I mentioned in my remarks yesterday that just this whole experience of helping to put together the program for the Atlanta part of the tour, interacting with the key stakeholders in the LGBT community, particularly people of color and African-American, more particularly, it's just been such an eye-opener for me because I never really thought about, that there were issues that were specific to those who are African-American or other communities of color and also LGBT. I thought of them as two, one or the other.
Right.
And I think the attendance, the level of enthusiasm, discussion, and questions from the participants, the interaction with the presenters that we had and panelists, really took a hold of that a particular target group that
Yeah.
And encourage you that we have resources to allow that.
That's the overall thing is that the funding and support is here, has been here, but I think it has now, as you said, the recognition of it being specific has been overlooked a lot of times, but now it's being addressed. And just, like I said, overall, I'm blown. We would have this conversation before we came on air about the certification of LGBT companies. I saw the stickers, businesses raised the design, not knowing that it's
the bigger picture.
Right. That you need to go to become certified. And now that you are certified, people are looking for you.
Yeah. Right.
Almost like go green.
Yeah. Movement. Just a movement now.
Certified.
And I have to say, once again, part of my education process throughout the whole event and preparing for it is that I didn't realize there was a formal certification. I was kind of like, if there was a note for an LGBT-owned business, it's like, it's just kind of a nice, warm, fuzzy. But I didn't know myself. I've been with the Small Business Administration for 20-some years.
Wow.
I'm here as the Georgia District Director, State Director for 11, and I had never heard of a formal LGBT certification. And my next question was, what does that certification get you? Are there corporations who are valuing that certification? And they are. There are corporations and other companies that are valuing and looking for LGBT-owned businesses and see that certification as a way to help them identify.
Right. Well, I know it's exciting for me because the more we learn,
especially if you have a passion for something. But as you learn it, now you're able to share it.
Yeah.
And so, like last night, we went, you know, we were listening to some of the tapes from the Yesterday Show, because this is going to be a process of us putting out. We didn't want anybody to miss anything. This is like Crash Show Edition. But we were posting like crazy. I'm sending out emails, I'm sending out texts. I'm sending to people, listen, guys, if somebody says to you, hi, how are you? Are you black? Are you LGBT? Do you want some money? Here you go. So do you want some resources? Here you go. Do you want some resources? See, your people's information is going to help start on the road. That dream that you have with the phone that's not only going to impact you, but going to impact your community. You're ready to go. So I have been blowing this conference up. I'm like, if you don't get it, if you didn't get an opportunity, you know, think of work or that you didn't know about it, listen to our show. It's archived for a couple of ones. So you can hear this over and over and over and over again. It is something you can keep in mind. But not only that, get the next city tour.
Right. Well, let me ask you this too, Ms. Terry. With the Atlanta market, let's kind of trigger into the Atlanta market. This is where we're based out of. And coming off of this, the excitement of this tour, is there a link that can give people some information directly from the SBA in regards to Many Faces, One Dream, or not even just that, but the addition, in addition to
okay. Actually, that's a great idea, so I'll have to think about how we might be able to house specific to the tour.
We got you, honey, live on my radio right here, and live on my market. We got you.
Okay. But the main thing is, if you want a better idea of what the SBA can bring to the table, either directly or through our committed resource partners, the best place to go is our website, which is www.sba.gov. And you can go to local resources if you're not here in Georgia or the Atlanta area and find out exactly where the SBA office serving your community is and what resources are attached there.
Okay, awesome. And so that just triggered furthermore for us to know. Let me say this before I forget it. What I think has been awesome was to hear Sam Burke, which is a representative for the National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce here. Her transparency of saying that she needed to reach out to figure out how she could bridge the gap into the African American minority area of LGBT businesses. And she reached out to Sharon Lettman with the MBJC. And literally, it just goes to show you how even a large enterprise or large sector of business, you know, the SBA, you know, the NGLC, the NGLCC, the MBJC, I said, listen, we're in this leverage point, but we need each other to push ahead. So imagine people, I'm talking to my audience at this point, as a small business, open your mind up. You realize that there is relationships that need to be built.
Yes.
This tour has happened because of that. Eugene Cornelius, it's all about delegation and understanding and willingness. You have to be willing to push ahead. And I'm saying this because a lot of times, you know, I'm a marketing company, I'm a branding, I'm a media company, yeah, but I see people like Miko Evans and Ramsey Frederick with Urban Socialites. There's no resistance of us being here. We're embracing one another. It's a safe space, we're in alignment. So I'm just saying this to say that it's important to build relationships. Even if somebody's in the same area in which you are, your talent and everything is important. But don't resist the opportunity to connect with others. Yeah.
And I would also take it a step further, not only collaboration among the various resource partners and organizations, because the thing is, we all have different pieces to the puzzle of solving the challenges and problems, not only on our side, but in terms of the businesses.
Right.
I think there needs to be more collaboration and joint venturing and partnering among businesses.
My point.
Small businesses, you know, you have limited resources, but you have complementary skills.
Yeah.
Someone they have skills or resources that you need, and in turn, you have skills and resources that they need.
Exactly.
So there needs to be a lot more collaboration among businesses. And those are some of the things that SBA talks about, encourages small business, all types of small business to do. And I think this is the strategy that LGBT owned businesses, particularly those of color, should as well.
That's right. And that was exactly my point, that I think that you guys have shown that that can happen, even if something is, you know, as large as each entity. So if they can do it at that level, imagine what we can do at a smaller level. So thank you very much, Jerry, for your time. I think that this is awesome, and I'm glad to be able to be a part of it. We look forward to speaking to you. We'll see you next week, although.
Okay.
So thank you, guys. We'll be back from a little break. LiveMouthRadio.com. All right, guys, we're back with LiveMouthRadio.com, and we're actually continuing our wonderful interview. And right now we're sitting with Sam McClure with the NGLCC, which stands for the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
You know what? Sam is so cool. I love Sam.
She's the coolest in the whole, I mean, just... If I could just have a picture, you know, I've been saying it for the last few days that if we could just have the TV cameras, these are some of the coolest people in the world. But I just wanted to, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
I got distracted by how cool I am.
So, oh,
no,
you are.
I'm so excited.
The fact that this fantastic co-host, designer, producer of Loud Mouth Radio can remember all of the alphabet and what they stand for, I am so proud.
It's word for Verizon. They're acronyms, honey. I'm going to tell you something. DSL. Let's go ahead.
I'm totally messed up everybody's organization by this point because there's so many alphabets. But continue.
So, NGLCC. We're going to do it now. We're going to say it even more now. Because you know what? It's all about branding. So I want people to be able to have a clear understanding about the organizations as we speak on them. And if you could, just kind of recap with us and our audience about this event, the things that you're doing, what people can look to see happening, what they need to know as far as connection from this tour, and what it means to become LGBT certified as a business.
Yeah, happy to do that. So, yeah, the Many Faces One Dream Tour is an amazing project. I feel so proud and really so privileged to be a part of the tour. My good friend, Sharon Lettman-Hicks, brought us into this. You know, we have a partnership with the SBA as well. And this particular tour, you know, at the NGLCC, it's our job to advocate for business opportunities for LGBT business owners. And for a long time, we've known that we are not attracting enough of the businesses that are owned by persons of color. And that's a challenge. And that's something that's an area where we really wanted to do better. And our partnership with NBJC has helped us to tactically have better access to the community and also sort of understand who we're talking to so that we can serve this community more effectively. And that's really important to us. So back to the tour. This is stop two for us. I went to Detroit as well, which was really such a beautiful and powerful experience. And I love ATL, so I'm always happy to be here. Have some family here.
We love you, Susan.
And I'll be back as often as possible. We actually have a local affiliate chamber here called the Atlantic Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And for anybody that's in this footprint and wants to connect with what we're doing at the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, that local chamber is your access point.
Wow.
If you join that local chamber, you kind of get us as a bonus.
Yes, I've heard that. That's awesome.
The president of the chamber, Suzanne Vaught, who's also the CEO of Q&A Events, she was actually here yesterday doing some outreach and meeting people.
Wow.
So they're very supportive of this tour as well.
Now, are you going to be, I know you were talking yesterday about staffing the tour. Are you going to be on the entire tour?
I'm going to be in every city.
I love it.
We already announced, you know, we're just putting it in the atmosphere.
We're going to be that little
bird. I'd like to hang out with you guys over and over. I like it.
We decided we're going to be that little bird that rides on the back of the rhino and go on across the lake. We're just going to follow the tour. Because you know what? What has been so impactful for us, and we've said it over and over and over, is one, we are a radio network and a brand and a marketing company that believes in what we do. And if, as we believe in what we do and the stories, the things that we cover, we want people to know, guys, this is out here.
whether it is challenging or whether it's positive, we wanted people to understand what it is that's going on. And so we were like, you know what? No, we need to follow. We need to get people's reaction and get the word out and market this fantastic conference. Because without knowledge, you perish. Your dream perishes. It never comes to fruition because you don't have the knowledge of what's out there for you. So for us to hear all of the information that we've heard in the last couple of days, I will repeat it. I know y'all tired of me saying it, but I just have to give kudos to my youngest son, Justin, who used to come home and always say, did you know, did you know, did you know? And it was like overwhelming of the amount of information that he had gotten at school, but he was so excited.
Sure.
And that's how I feel at this conference, right? So, oh my God, did you know? My biggest thing was the 1.5 million LGBT
business. Yeah, it surprises a lot of people that there are so many LGBT business owners. And you know, I'll say, I know we're pressed for time here, but I will say, anytime we're in conferences like this or we're doing anything around LGBT economic equality, we hear a lot about, they throw the statistic around about our buying power,
right?
$790 billion estimated buying power for this market segment. You know, I would just like for people to stop thinking about the buying power for a few minutes, and let's talk about your earnings power. Let's talk about what kind of economic impact can be driven by that 1.5 million business owners who are LGBT. How many jobs do they create?
Exactly.
What's the tax implications that they're paying in a local footprint where they live and work and do business? It's huge. And, you know, we need to be at a place where we're all thinking about not what's good for the business today, but what's good for the business in the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
How do we build a business that we're not thinking about how am I going to make payroll, the survival mode, but we're thinking about legacy mode. What am I going to leave for my children, for our community's children? Well, you know,
representative.
That's right. If I build a business that's strong and sustainable, is on a steep growth trajectory, can I sell it in 10 years to another entrepreneur who will take it to another level? You know, it's about shifting your mentality. This is not a community of consumers. It's just a community of creators.
Right.
These are people who are creating.
Rockefellers and the Hilton brand. Like, you know, we're talking about those brands and, you know, being honest and that you're making a very, very valid point. And it's like, you know, it shouldn't be a constant cycle. There needs to be sustainability.
Yeah.
And
leverage.
Leverage. And, you know, I know this more than this one, how important it is to have the financial to grow your business. I know that, and I'm going to be very transparent, I know that's been the main part for me in bringing my business. You know, I've been, you know, elevating my brand for 7-8 years, but I know that I would have put it 3 times quicker having the funding earlier as I was progressing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've talked to thousands and thousands and thousands of business owners over the years.
And access to capital, this is a challenge for us. So, you know, how great is it that a tour like this brings in the SBA?
That's
can really help you get on the right track to access to capital and growing your businesses. You know, a lot of the work that we do at GLCC is to really rewrite the narrative of the community. So right now in America, if you say LGBT, an image pops in someone's mind, right? Everyone has different images. For me and my work, a big part of what I want to do is have the first image that comes to mind be entrepreneur.
Right.
Business owner.
Absolutely.
Right.
Employer.
Right.
So, you know, we're just out here really just telling the story that there are opportunities for these business owners. We have a national advocacy organization that is fighting so hard for you in Washington, D.C. There's 38 local chambers around the country that are affiliated with us that are doing exactly the same thing. And we are proud, very, very proud to partner with the National Black Justice Coalition and the SBA and Black Enterprise Magazine to bring this tour around the country to make sure that, you know, not only are the doors of opportunity open for people, but they can see the future, a future where our businesses are strong and they're employing people in their community and they're building legacy businesses and generational wealth. That's what change
is all about. That's what we're
here to do.
Let me say this. I'm
going to okay. I have the microphone, though, so I can really take over the conversation.
When Eugene Cornelius spoke on yesterday, that there's a 63% unemployment rate in transgender.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it just blows your mind. And this is amazing. So many people have been programmed to be employees.
Yeah.
That when you have, I can't speak for everyone's thought process, but it's like, okay, think about it. If you're not getting those opportunities, start creating.
Exactly.
Start creating your space.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has a gift. Tap into what it is, yeah. Even if it doesn't seem. But if it's something that is a passion to you and it's something that you
somebody's
going to want it.
Yes.
And, you know, just imagine the impact of this tour touching all these cities. If you can knock that deficit down to 10%, 20%, 30%, probably the unemployment rate as a nation.
So, without a doubt, I think you're really onto something. And, you know, let's take it another step further. Let's say that we could convert 20% of those people that are in employment deficit to being employers.
Just what I'm saying.
If they start businesses, not only would it take them out of that market, but they're more likely to hire people within their community.
The community, exactly. And that's the point of what I'm saying. It's awesome.
What's that yesterday just said, and I'll put it in my words. The whole place is given much is required. So if I'm giving much opportunity, then I'm going to be required, even in my own eyes, to give more opportunity. So if I've been put in a position in the LGBT community and outside the LGBT community to feel like my idea or my value or my worth as a person is not valued, then when I get to be an owner, then I'm going to hire those people who have had the same experiences.
Or who can relate.
Or who can relate. Or who have the same mind that I have, even if they haven't been through those experiences. They don't want to continue to see that process.
Sure.
So this has been, you know, a continuation of what I believe anyway. You know, if you are in my space, you've been in my shoes, I want to hire you because you understand. So now we're going to have the same mind and the same passion to make this business successful.
Absolutely. Very well said. If you were paraphrasing, I don't know how, I hope you said it that well the first time. That was very eloquent. You know, I'll just add one more little piece in closing because I actually have business owners that are waiting for some time with me and I really want to take good care of them today. You know,
I told you she was cool.
Thank you. From you, I'm taking that as a high compliment. So much of what we do, the space where the MGLCC operates, we're really supporting diversity and inclusion. And broadly across the country, we're trying to create a more inclusive environment where everyone has a seat at the table, and we're all working together to build a strong, sustainable economy in communities across the country. And I will say, I've learned a lot of lessons in doing this work, but one simple truth comes back to me over and over. It sounds kind of silly, but it really is true. Nothing brings people together. I mean, nothing brings people together like making money.
Absolutely.
It's just the way.
The whole shift, the mindset, and this is the thing. The thing to stick about when you don't have any money and when you have money, it's a different world.
Absolutely.
It's a different world. When you're not concerned about how you're going to eat, it gives you the room and the space to be creative. It gives you the room and the space to think about somebody other than yourself.
It does.
You know?
I wouldn't even say you're not thinking about how to eat, you're thinking about how to feed.
Exactly. Well said. So that could be the entrepreneurial mantra right there.
Yeah.
But I think for all of us who are in this space now, working on this tour and here today, the most important thing we can do is go out and keep telling the story and make sure more people understand that there are these opportunities to build businesses and that anyone can become an entrepreneur if they've got, you know, the heart for it, the stamina, and they're willing to do the work. The resources are out there. So remember your local SBA offices. They're amazing advocates. They really want you to succeed.
Absolutely.
Remember the National Black Justice Coalition, which is going to bat for the needs of your community every day in some pretty hard battles.
Absolutely.
It's a great organization. And remember the MGLCC. We're here to advocate for opportunities for all LGBT business owners. And I look forward to meeting as many business owners as I can every day.
And I thank you guys so much
for
giving me a chance to talk to your audience.
Thank you. Go and make business work for other people.
Awesome. And we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
All right, great. We are back, and we're live, continually covering everything with this awesome event. And we wanted to try to make sure that we gave an opportunity to hear from some of the participants that have come in for the event, to come in and get empowerment and how it could be a directive tool for their business or their desires to start their own business or organization. And we're here with Trevilla Ambrose, who's actually an Atlanta resident, has come in and taken part. And we actually go to church together. So it was awesome to see him here today as well as yesterday. And we wanted to just basically find out from him how he feels about things and what you feel is going to keep you from this event.
When I heard about the event, I didn't know really what to expect. But when I came here, I was very empowered because I have my own program, which is called the Prodigal Project, and it's dealing with people who are HIV positive. And my program is going to help the churches to help people who are positive, who are affected with the virus, and people who are infected with knowing people who have HIV. And my concern was not knowing what I really want to do, but it was going to turn into a business or a small business or be a nonprofit. But I really didn't know what to expect. When I got here, I heard a lot of things that were said that really empowered me to take my program to another level. It was just a program for me, but now I realize I can take it to elevate it to the next level of what I had no desire of doing, but just being here and like it, maybe I can take it to the next level and really get it out there. It's out there now, but I really get out there national-wise and everything. So I'm just, right now, I'm just going through the motions, but I'm really empowered because I know that I want to make it a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I do want to make it a nonprofit.
The thing happened in the conversation yesterday, there are ways that you can have a nonprofit business, give the information to the people who are helping, that are working in your organization to even have them receive funds, or your nonprofit receive funds to now staff.
You can advocate
right. Because my thing even now, like, well, I know a friend always told me, but when I decided my program like about 5 years ago, that he said it's a program that everybody can't do, dealing with church and dealing with HIV. But he told me, and I really understand what he means now, he said that my kids will make room for me, and I'm realizing that now that what I'm doing, that God gave this gift for me to do.
Right.
That nobody else can do this gift.
Yeah.
That has a good rapport with churches because I have the experience. Yes, I've been HIV, yes, I'm HIV positive. Yes, I've had substance abuse issues in the past. And yes, I've had mental health issues. In my program, and I just want something to help people. I don't want people to have to go through what I've gone through. So if I can establish an organization or corporation or even a nonprofit to help people or in the church setting that are going through the same struggle that I've gone through. That's my biggest fear. If I can just come in here and just enlighten me and open my eyes that I can take the Prodigal Project from a ministry to a nonprofit.
But you know what? What did we hear yesterday? We heard from Bishop Allen. We heard from Reverend Samuel of Victory Church as well as Bishop's Church. Say, for anybody that does not realize it,
the church has been.
In other words, handle business as it should be handled, even within the walls of the so-called church.
I think we don't so-called even church as a business, yeah. But most of our churches today are run as a business, as a corporation.
Let me tell you,
it's a corporate structure in a nonprofit state.
All right. Yeah. Even when it was a storefront, okay. Even when it was 6 members, you still had to pay lights. That's business.
Yeah. Had to organize.
You had to order beer.
Yes, organize.
Some people.
You had to pay the organ.
You had to pay the organ. You had to give a love offering. It was still your paying.
Right.
So even if it's a small element of business, it's okay for us to call it a business.
Right.
Because if we handle things properly, things get handled. People get help.
Right.
People get resources.
And see, that's my main goal, is to provide a service. I don't want
people in the church setting have to go through the emotional of being HIV positive,
right,
dealing with their substance abuse, and having mental health issues and not being addressed. Because for some folks, like me, I'm right with my status. But you have folks in church, and I've been there.
Yeah.
Come to church, put on my little mask, and everything is fine. But when I go home, I'm broken inside. And I don't want people to have to deal with that, because for me, it was an experience that I don't want anyone else to go through. I'm better than what I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God he got me where I'm at, where I need to be at this point in time.
Yeah,
there's over there boo-hooing yesterday. I can't
even remember. It was such a powerful statement that he gave to the audience. But if we wanted to get in contact with you, somebody needs to get in contact with you right now. We know you want to grow your business. You want to grow your organization.
Make sure they reach you. Make sure you email me at atrevelle@yahoo.com, or they can call me on my personal number, which is area code 404-707-0598.
And by his personal number, he means his local office.
Thank you so much, Travelle. We're going to take a quick break and come back and be ready to wrap this coverage today, too. Thank you. Okay, we're back. We're doing the live coverage. We've been we've been harassing people, just stalking them as they're coming out the door to let them tell us how they feel about this event. We've been interviewing a lot of the panel and the people that have put this event together. But I think it's equally important that you hear from the people that have participated and been exposed to the information. And I have a few people here in front of me, Felicia, Julia, and Janine. And I'm going to allow them to kind of just share their thoughts of how they felt the event has gone and how it's impacted them.
Hi, it's Janine from City Girls Productions. I thought the event was wonderful, very knowledgeable. What I learned here today and yesterday, I'm going to take this and it's going to make my business go really big. I learned how to get funding for my business as opposed to always trying to do loans for people that don't have credit. So, you know, you think that it's not things out there and not knowledge and not funding out there to help you start your business. It is. You just got to know the right resources to go to. And that's what I learned today.
Awesome. What is your business?
I do production. We help put filming together for movies, web shows, commercials, you name it. It goes on TV or the internet. I can put it together.
Awesome. And then we also have Julia here in front of us.
Hi. Gosh, I'm so actually shy. No one believes it. Yes, Julia Saeed of Julia Saeed. I learned a lot. It helped me some further confirmation of things that I was already thinking about, gave me a lot more resources that I did not know I had. So this definitely helped a whole lot.
Awesome. And for you, what do you think is imperative for others to know about this event that may have not made it, could possibly catch one of the other city tours that is still 11 cities that are going to be stretched across the U.S. What do you think is imperative for them to know if they can make it or attend an event?
I mean, the fact that it exists is one thing that they really need to know, and then the fact that it's only a few hours of your time that can create a new and better lifetime for you. So why not take those few hours to learn something that will make the next 20, 30, 40 years 30 times better?
Absolutely, well said. And then we also have Felicia here. And I know Felicia is saying that she's looking at starting a business.
Yes, starting a business. So, like, I have so many businesses in mind. And so listen to these people. It's so many businesses out there. So I am what you would call entrepreneur.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'll just say it.
Yes.
Explain, entrepreneur.
Okay.
So I just what it is, and I found out the government just have money to waste. I really found out that you sign up, start your business, you bid on it. I mean, I know it's competitive, but I feel like that's something I could be doing. And they buy, yeah, and they buy everything, anything. I mean,
it's resources.
I could go buy a van and be a shuttle from the VA hospital to wherever the veterans need to go. So, yeah. No, I'm not. But it's out there. And the money's out there. So that's what I found out.
Absolutely. And I think this is great. We have a very diverse
funds. We're talking to people that are in business and people who are looking to start a business and trying to find a direction. So for this whole show, we've been trying to really, best as we could, to give what this event has been and what comes from it. So I just want to thank you ladies for taking the time to talk to us and share your insight. And
we have to talk about my business. Lisa put the mic up. Hello. I'm here. I'm awake now. So Julia Saeed is hair and makeup artistry for any hair makeup needs. Bridal, every day, any type of, I just want to wake up and get my makeup done today. I have all of that for you. So. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You see how shy people come out of this shell real quick? They come out of this shell so fast. I love it. Now, let me give you a blood type of period. Look, I'm stopping people. I told you we're getting it in. We're actually on loudmouthradio.com live. I'm speaking in regards to this event. And I stopped another business owner that's sitting here looking close because I'm going to allow her to speak to share the name of her business and what she does. And also seeing what has the event done for her in correspondence over the last 2 days. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Janine. And we have Shonda Ray. Who's actually here with us today? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Absolutely wonderful. Which business?
Art U Studio. I'm a photographer.
Awesome. So
I should be your photographer.
Sounds great. I love it. She was reading my mind. You know we have ESPN, folks. We are actually, thank you, sweetie. Oh, these are beautiful. Now, what I think it's so important to know is how has this event impacted you and what would you share with others?
Well, it's motivating. Anytime you can be in a company with other business owners who are striving for the same things that you are, it's always motivational. So I can say that just being in the presence of other like-minded people has inspired and motivated me, and it gives you that little fuel you need to keep going.
Absolutely. And you're an existing business. I know there's some people here that are starting up, but you, like myself, are an existing business. And from this event, what do you feel like you can take to push forward over the next maybe 90 days to the end of the year?
Marketing, some of their marketing tools were great, but I think what impacted me the most is to hear that you don't have to just have one business. I'm one to kind of focus in on that one thing. I'm just going to throw everything into that, but from what I'm hearing today, because I have many talents, I can have many businesses.
That's right. Say it again, sister. I appreciate that, and I agree. So, Sean, how can they find you?
You can go on my website is artyoustudio.com. That's artyoustudio.com, or you can look me up on Facebook. Shonda Ray Photography, and that Shonda was no R, C-H-A-N-D-A-R-A-E, Photography.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we have been covering live, and we're going to go to a quick break and be back. We are back, and I'm finally got Michael Brewer here to sit still for a few minutes, so we got to really make this count. Yes, and he is a part of the NBJC, the National Black Justice Coalition, organization that is so impactful. I'm going to allow him to really speak on the actual organization and this event and what it means going forward.
Sure, and thank you to each of you. It's been a pleasure just being back in Atlanta, this is my adopted hometown, and just seeing the community come together and rise up in a way that I've never seen it before, because it's not, you know, it's not from the defensive standpoint of us fighting against something, it's actually us fighting for something, fighting for our liberation, fighting for our empowerment from an economic lens. So this has been wonderful. You know, the National Black Justice Coalition is a national civil rights organization dedicated to empowering Black, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender individuals, and we do that with a focus on public policy on the federal level. And so what I do, there is I kind of manage our national programs like Many Faces, One Dream, and I also help manage our policy advocacy efforts, building relationships with congressional leaders, particularly in the Congressional Black Caucus, and also building relationships with different federal administrations or federal agencies within the administration to make sure there's a Black LGBTQ to keep voice in the conversation about how policy and regulations and rules get made. And what I've noticed being here is that, you know, there are people who are ready to take our community to the next level. There are people who are ready, you know, and this was a business conference, you know, this is for, you know, small business owners, folks who want to own their own small business, innovators, entrepreneurs. So why I think it's so great is that beyond this, this was really a conference and a conversation about liberation. This was a conference
overall,
and, you know, economic empowerment being, you know, a primary or a prominent, you know, method towards achieving that end, and doing that collectively from a community, from a community perspective and through a community lens, is the way that we ensure all of our people are free, right? Yeah, Sharon talks a lot about crafts and apparel, and that's the expression that we all heard before, and that is not the spirit that I think everybody came here with. It's really about
not at all. I didn't feel any of that.
I didn't feel any of that either. It was really about how can I get mine, and how can I help you get yours,
right?
How can we get ours together? Because really it's about building power and wealth in our community. You know, this is our second stop on the tour. Detroit was amazing. Detroit was amazing, and it's growing. You know, we keep engaging more people. We keep, you know, having different conversations. I think different opportunities for us to grow individually and together. I mean, I've grown, you know, spiritually in this space this past week, this past 2 days, and it's just been, I wish I could be a little bit more articulate. It's been wonderful.
Absolutely, and I'm going to say that it's great to know that you guys started in a city that has had so much adversity. Detroit just recently had a bankruptcy filing for the city, so you can only imagine in a city that's already been impacted economically, like many have, that something like this will rise up and come into the city and pump some type of hope to another area in which you can imagine the main deficit of the city. So imagine already being in a group that has already been discriminated against or passed over. So to know that, you know, Atlanta was the second stop, we're really privy to say that hopefully from this point forward, every city will just continue to keep growing. From Detroit's attendance to Atlanta attendance to double.
Yes.
And from Atlanta to New York, we want to see it quadruple. You know, so...
I think what you said is so powerful, and I think what's great about the tour is that it meets people where they're at, as long as they're where they're at is about something. You know,
right.
If you are, you know, coming from Detroit, you mentioned the bankruptcy, you know, are they in the same space that, you know, folks in Atlanta are? Probably not a lot of them, right? From a community aspect, from a resource aspect, but that doesn't mean that they can't glean resources and tools,
right,
and information and knowledge and networks from this, you know, bias of where they're going and how they're going to grow.
Right.
The same thing with here in Atlanta, and I think that is, so no matter where you are on the spectrum, you can use this.
Right. And it helps you look up beyond the neighborhood. So sometimes people's mindsets or their daily activities or just the spirits are impacted what they're seeing in their space. So I can only imagine in Detroit, it's been so desolate.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, and I'm from Chicago, so I know what Chicago's had some trivial things, especially a lot of violence.
Yeah.
So when you have cities like that, typically people start running from them because it's so much that they don't see of prosperity.
Yeah.
So for you to give that and, you know, allow that take place. Those 50 to 75 people that came, best believe 30, 40 more people per person is going to spread.
Exactly.
So, which is great.
Yeah.
So, you want to know that, you know, and I was asking you this before we went back on air. I want you to share this. How long has the MBJC been around?
Yeah. So, MBJC is 15 years old this year. We were founded back in 2003. You know, a number of Black LGBT activists that, you know, it was on the show, you know, the Keep Voices of the World, Nancy Carter, who has been organizing for years, iconic activist out of North Carolina. And really, it was a reaction to this burgeoning narrative at the time. It's just a narrative that exists around Black folks being anti-LGBT, anti, you know, same-sex marriage. And it was a number of folks from our community standing up and saying, you know, not only is that not true, but that narrative erases the experience of me and my community. I am Black and LGBT at the same time, you know. And so since then, MBJC has grown into this, you know, organization of resources, organization of information. But what we really seek to do is we seek to empower our community by teaching them how to own their power.
I love that.
So it looks like programs like this. It looks like programs like our annual leadership summit in the fall called Down the Hill, where we bring over 200 Black LGBT leaders around the nation into our nation's capital to have meetings with policymakers and to take information about how they can change things in their community.
That's every fall.
That's every fall. Every September this year. That's going to be September 18th to the 22nd in Washington, D.C.
I get my email for the invite.
Right? Exactly. It's a place just like this, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know who's doing what unless you come,
Right.
And there's so much untapped resource, untapped talent in our community that when you bring us together, there's no stopping. When you bring us together and you show us what to do, it's amazing what we can accomplish.
Let me just say, because we know you got to go, he's so busy, we've been trying to snag him like for the last 2 days. Let me just give kudos to Black Enterprise. To a supporter of, and rightly so, that Black Enterprise, the magazine guys,
started to an
SBA loan.
For $150,000 loan.
Look at, she's just taking, can I have my interview? Thank you. just kudos to not getting something and never coming back.
Definitely.
Coming back and saying, let me help support this effort to go from city to city to city. Mm-hmm. And then also saying, look at our beautiful faces that are on the cover.
Thank you.
Okay.
We've had enough to say, hey, let's do this.
I wish for you guys that have not seen this, I'm going to bring it out. Y'all can't see, but y'all can hear me making the noise of the paper. But Black Enterprise that are putting LGBT family on the cover. That's huge.
They recognize
it.
That's huge.
The A4MA issue of a couple, they got married in from California.
We're Facebook friends now. I keep putting that out like that means something. It means nothing other than the fact that they were so gracious to accept me, but I was so proud. I was so extremely proud to see them and to know that they had a story, not only that was worthy of being in Black Enterprise, but that they were true and genuine to be able to share their story, because we
stay authentic.
The basis of success, of economical success, not only just love and bliss. We are not only in love as a couple, as a gender-loving Black couple, but we're also economically empowered to help not only our family but other people. So yeah. I'm just kudos to Black Enterprise.
Definitely. It is a Black issue.
Yeah.
This tour is not just about LGBT people. We have always lived in our community, So it's about how do we uplift our entire people towards, that greater good, towards that, that liberation that we keep talking about.
Absolutely. And we want to thank you so much, Michael. We know that you need to go. And we'll be connecting again on multiple levels, I already know. And we just want to thank you. How can people reach you?
Sure. You are more than welcome. I'm at the MBJC office all the time. My email address is mbrewer@mbjc.org. It's the best way to reach me, and I'm very responsive to it. And, let's get it started.
Absolutely. Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. Facebook.com/MichaelJBrewer.
We will be friends now. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. And we want to take a quick break, and we just thank you, Michael, for being so kind to allow us to interview you right now.
Thank you so much, and please keep going with y'all doing. This is so important.
Thank you. Stay glad.
All right, and you have been listening to the second part of the 2-day Many Faces, One Dream Atlanta Tour. The Loudmouth Radio had the honor of being able to cover this as a media outlet to allow people to hear the awesome opportunities that the U.S. Small Business Administration, the National Black Justice Coalition, and the National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce have come together to create a wonderful opportunity for people of color, LGBTQ businesses, to have opportunities to elevate their businesses into the communities with multitudes of economic resources. And we also want to make sure we recognize Black Enterprise. I don't know if I really spoke highly in regards to their impact on this. And as mentioned, they actually are a prime example of what can happen when you put your information together and you put your desire together. And they are a recipient of a small business loan, like I mentioned on the interview. They received $150,000. We actually would share the information by David Perry. During his interview, he shared with us that Black Enterprise was a company, which was vital. I think this is awesome to see them in position. And how befitting that they were, I believe, one of the first publications to showcase a gay marriage on a major media outlet. So especially a actual publication of a Black publication and people of color, which is along the streamlines of what this actual tour is about. So just so if you're just coming into this and you hadn't had an opportunity to find out how you can find out more about this tour, it is a 13-city tour. It's already down to 11 cities. Detroit was first. Atlanta was second. The next city stop is New York City, and the dates that is showing on ManyFacesOneDream.com is October 20th through the 22nd. So please make sure you keep up with the information by going to that website. You also can go to the mbjc.org site, and they're the host of everything. They are the ones that brought this thing together and made it happen. So I really want to give high respect to Ms. Sharon Lettman Hicks, who is the executive director and CEO of the MBJC, as well as Jean Cornelius, who have appointed some wonderful people in various markets. We've only had the pleasure of meeting the Georgia District office, but they were just so humble. Patrice Dozier, David Perry, Ms. Terry Denson, Cassius Butts, who I already know, I've had the pleasure of knowing outside of the SBA, Sam McClure, the Director of Affiliated Relations and External Affairs for the National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. Awesome opportunities for you guys out here. So I just want to tell people to just stay encouraged and how important it is to get certifications. Also, I failed to mention one thing that was apparent that I know that Ms. Paula Botts speaks on is the business opportunity of becoming partnered up with government contracts, and there was also another lady that was present that helps to get you certified, and her name was Ms. Sanji Franklin. Hopefully she won't hurt me, but I know Ms. Franklin is her name, and she's located in the Atlanta, Georgia market, and she is available online at gmsdc.org, which stands for Georgia Minority Supply Development Council. Very important to position yourself when you're trying to do things that will allow you to get in positions with major corporations. And I'm going to tell you guys, there's billions of dollars out here. Some things don't even get touched. And we've heard it. It is true. It is real. And, you know, don't allow your credit situations a lot of times discourages people to go further. Don't allow that to discontinue the opportunities in which is out here for us. And one of the things, too, that I said I wanted to make sure I spoke on was the areas in which they cover during this actual tour. They talk about some vital things as far as getting business financing, growth strategies, how to get certified as a woman-owned small business, the 8A Hub Zone service, which is a disabled veteran business certification, credit financial literacy, LGBT business certifications. If you're a business startup, how SCORE can assist you in regards to mentoring you on how to start and run a successful business, government contracting, franchising, and marketing. So these are some of the PowerPoints in which they will talk about on this tour. And I do recommend that if you can't strap on to one of these cities, take part. Get the one-on-one opportunities, because the second day they had individual table counseling, which is awesome. They had a room full of people where you could sit at the table and talk to them in regards to your desires and what you needed to have questions and direction on. So, you know, if that at all has not given you enough, just continue to keep following us at loudmouth.com. We'll actually post things on our blog site, as well as on our Facebook. You can reach us at Loudmouth Online on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at Loudmouth. Everything is with 2 D's, so make sure you put that in. And I just want to again say that we were just very honored. Jazzy and I had an awesome opportunity. We met a lot of great people. We saw some friends in there who were fellow business owners that were really showing up in good numbers. So what I want to do is have this actual episode go into a wonderful song that I think is a representation of what is the energy that was really in spirit at this event. And hopefully we'll be able to hear your feedback about how the information that we've given to you can be helpful to you. So email us at loudmouthmedia@gmail.com, which is LOUDDMOUTH. And you know, look out for us. I'm gonna say that Jazzy and I were very excited about the people that we met with, and we're definitely looking to follow this tour as it touches other cities. So just stay connected with us, and hopefully we can be your channel into hearing how things go further with this tour. So as we say, allow them out, be empowered, be inspired, and be entertained. And just listen out for us as we get ready for more programming on loudmouthradio.com. As always, it's awesome to reach and talk out to you. So hopefully this segment, the last 2 days, make sure you go back and listen to the Tuesday night show, The Bare Truth. That episode you definitely don't want to miss. Tonight was just a piece of the big part of the pie. Last night was the big part of the filler. So I'm going to encourage you to make sure you listen to that episode as well as tonight. If you don't go straight to Live Off Radio, go to your Stitcher app, where we're in over 4 million in-car dashboards, and share this wealth of information with someone that you know is looking to start and grow their business. As always, make sure you stay online with us at loudmouthradio.com. Our studio number, 347-826-7520. So, once again, just thank you guys so much, and it's been awesome being on air with you tonight. And hopefully, we'll hear from you and maybe hear some people tell us that they've been able to push their business forward from this tour. And we appreciate you. Have a great night. I was gone, didn't you? I'm still right here. You know that's how stalkers do, right? They try to walk away, but they really still be there. But no, seriously, make sure you guys check out the site, nbjc.org. Also, go to your Small Business Administration site at sba.gov. And for those who are in the Georgia market, make sure to touch on their site at sba.gov at the Peachtree Street location and maybe stop in to see about getting more information. And once again, we're just honored to be able to give you insight. So hopefully you'll enjoy this song as we depart for the evening.
Together, I got it together. Thank you.